coming up on Thunder Pop.
It's the 109th episode of the Thunder Pop podcast here at the Thunder Pop Dome. In this season 5, second episode for season 5, sitting across the room from me, the one and only, the boy wonder, Johnny Lightfoot.
Hello, hello.
And Johnny, I've had already a busy, very eventful fall.
Yeah, so far it's been very busy.
So we're going to have to catch up with him and find out what he's been doing while we've been on our hiatus. And we're going to talk about that. And actually, our first segment of the show is going to be the Johnny on the Spot segment, where we're going to talk about Fantastic Fest 2019. Mm-hmm. And Johnny's thoughts and takes on this year's Fantastic Fest, which we always look forward to hearing about every year, and what went on there. And then and what didn't go on there, too, because sometimes that's significant.
Yep.
The rumors that maybe didn't pan out.
Yep, exactly.
So, and there's sometimes those happen, and then there's surprises, the things you maybe didn't know was going to happen, that somehow the internet didn't catch. So we're going to talk about that. And then also on this episode, a literal mixtape.
Yo, this is my shit right here.
Johnny, of all the things that we missed while this podcast was on hiatus.
There's a lot of stuff out there.
You know, I've always liked the word hiatus. I don't know why I like the word hiatus, but it's you know, every year I used to hear about, oh, your favorite shows when they get back from their hiatus. And I was like, why does that word make me tingle?
Yeah, I mean, it just sounds better than the word break. You know, like we're back from break.
Yeah, it's got more, summer break or whatever, summer vacation. You ever remember all your favorite shows, like back before the streaming years of now? And shows were more like structured in their schedule before. They would have seasons that were kind of over the span of an entire year. Now we have seasons of shows that premiere, but when it was very structured, most of your shows would debut, new series would debut in the fall in television, and then you'd have your mid-season replacement shows, and those would come in, but then everything would kind of go on hiatus by May. You'd have your season finales, and then all the shows would come back. This was like a big thing in the 80s and 90s. All the shows would come back in September with their 22 episodes or whatever they were going to have, and everybody would have like a new haircut or a new look, new clothes, new hairstyle. And it was like starting school, like new school year. And so you would see someone had maybe lost some weight, another character had gained some weight on all your favorite shows. I always thought that was kind of funny.
Like, oh, yeah. It was like you were going back to school, but then it was like, oh, okay, well, now this is the fresh new like look. Like, you need to try to mimic that look of your favorite stars. Like, you didn't know until the new season would come out.
Yeah, what they were gonna come in and do. And especially some of the shows are more fashion-oriented. Mm-hmm. Like, Miami Vice definitely was a show that was a fashion setter. And I remember the big thing with that show, they were known for the pastels, the white suits, the slip-on shoes, and no socks. And then one year, they decided they were going to change that, and they were going to go with darker colors, dark and earth tones. And just the ratings went down. The ratings went down, and people were just up in arms about it. And this was even before the internet, where people couldn't even just go. Like, people couldn't go on the internet and troll and get on and blast the show. So it was mostly just through word of mouth how people were upset about it. You know, the gossip columns would write about it on the newspapers. But so it was sort of weird seeing them in black and navy blue. And they, before the season was even over, I think by the time they got to the later part of the season, they were already starting to work back in the pastels. Yeah. And then by the following season, the next season after that, they were back to white suits. And they went, it's like if they tried to change, you know, Batman's to a white suit from dark navy or gray or whatever.
Doesn't make sense.
But we're going to hit all the things that we missed during our hiatus, which is going to include DC news, J.J. Abrams, some Star Wars talk, of course. We're going to dive into Rise of Skywalker trailer that we think will be out soon in maybe a couple of weeks. Force Friday just happened. Spider-Man back in the MCU. That was a big thing over the summer, especially over the later part of the summer. Arrowverse, the Arrowverse, which is the DC of television, and their Infinite Earth storyline that's going to be happening this season. Speaking of new fall seasons,
right?
That's going to be a big. That's been one of the most talked about things in television world, I think, over the past month.
Mm-hmm.
So much on the internet about that. So we'll dive into that too. All of that, and a bag of chips, and the dip, in this episode, right after this. Yeah. It is 109, and Johnny Lightfoot joining me across the way. Can also be found on
Matinee Talk. We record and put out new podcasts bi-weekly,
mm-hmm.
pretty much box office news, new movie releases on like Blu-ray and 4K. What you should buy, what you shouldn't, what you rent, and just overall, just movie reviews, really.
And you just dropped the Joker episode.
We did.
Yeah.
It was really deep dive on an uncomfortable movie, I'm sure. We'll talk a little Joker,
yeah.
And
yeah.
I'd like to talk more so about kind of the sociological effects of this movie,
mm-hmm.
because outside of like the public stuff going on with, you know, the, you know, threats of
yeah.
mass, you know, violence and things of that nature,
mm-hmm.
at the core of it, this really is a story about our society and things going on in society that I think just not enough people are talking about when in regards to this movie.
That's something that's not being hit upon enough.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, that, we definitely want to dive into that. Definitely. The first segment, which has a little bit of crossover with Joker, because I remember that was one of the speculations,
yes,
is whether we were going to get Joker at Fantastic Fest 2019 and maybe Joaquin Phoenix also,
mm-hmm.
along with the director. So Fantastic Fest 2019 is our Johnny on the Spot segment.
Yeah, so 2019 was the 15th year. So the 15-year anniversary of Fantastic Fest here in Austin, Texas,
mm-hmm.
takes place at the Alamo Drafthouse South Lamar every September.
Yeah.
Big genre festival, a lot of horror, science fiction, foreign films. The hype this year was around the opening night film, which was Taika mm-hmm. Waititi's Jojo Rabbit.
Yeah, I saw some photos of your being there.
Yeah, Taika was in attendance, and he was a crazy man. And,
yeah.
Oh,
he's an entertaining guy.
Yeah, he is. And Stephen Merchant was also there, who's hilarious.
Another very entertaining guy.
So the two of them were there having a good time, went to the highball after the film.
Nice.
Hanging out. I got a Mondo print for them, the screening, and a t-shirt. And overall, very, very touching movie.
Mm-hmm.
Hilarious, but touching.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of satire. I'm sure they're like the Joker. There's probably going to, when it releases, there's going to be some pushback.
Yeah.
ScarJo gives what I believe to be the best performance of her career
mm-hmm.
as JoJo's mother, and very heartwarming, and loved the film. I can't praise it enough. I think it's going to do really well come Oscar season. And then a lot of buzz around Rian Johnson's Knives Out, which was the closing night.
Film. Yeah.
And Ryan was there a few days before that.
Just wow.
Just hanging out.
Yeah. He's a big film guy. I mean, he's
yeah.
not just a filmmaker, but he's a fan of
yeah.
the movies.
Literally, you would go yeah. into the highball in between films, or mm-hmm. you would just go outside to get some fresh air, not theater air.
Yeah.
And you just see him out there hanging out, chatting, yeah. chatting it up. He went and sang karaoke,
mm-hmm.
Sang Soon I'm Gonna Be a Jedi,
uh-huh.
the Weird Al parody.
Nice. So, nice.
But that film also good coming out. Around Thanksgiving, I believe. Wonderful cast.
Mm-hmm.
Just a star-studded cast, that one, Knives Out. Don Johnson's probably the best I've seen him in a long
speaking
time.
Speaking of Don Johnson, yeah.
Yeah.
One, and that we talked about that trailer a while back when it first dropped, and we were really excited about it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so the Knives Out at the it gets off to a just strong start. The gates open, and yeah. right off the bat, you're off to a strong yeah. start with that.
And I did 28 films and one TV show through the whole festival. So yeah,
they
29.
They do some TV too, so don't they? A little bit.
The TV I did, they did Genndy Tartakovsky's Primal.
Mm-hmm.
He's the guy who created Samurai Jack.
Mm-hmm.
He also did the animated Star Wars Clone Wars TV show.
Yeah.
Not the CG animated, but the more Samurai Jack styled.
Mm-hmm.
But it was more of a mini series. They played all but the last episode. That was fantastic. Bong Joon-ho, his film Parasite,
mm-hmm.
Which was my favorite film of the festival.
Yeah, so that was the one this year?
Also, again, dealing with class. Has a wonderful way of blending humor and tension and suspense, and the movie will cut between a very humorous thing and then something that's very disturbing. And this is a film that you shouldn't miss. It won the Palme d'Or at Cannes Film Festival, which is best film. First Korean film to ever mm-hmm. win that.
Oh, good. That's great.
It's already the number one all-time box office in Korea and France. And it's going to probably be the first Korean film to win an Oscar this year.
Oh, wow.
After the film, Bong Joon-ho and Tim League mm-hmm. took us out there, and we mm-hmm. had a drink of soju,
uh-huh.
and they actually renamed the Drafthouse South Lamar the Bong Joon-ho Cinema. So now the Alamo Drafthouse South Lamar is the Bong Joon-ho Cinema, or just the Bong.
Permanently?
Yeah.
From now on. Wow. It made quite an impact then.
Yes. An animated French film, which actually Netflix picked up, called yeah. I Lost My Body. Great yeah. film. It's going to be on Netflix around Christmas time, which I think is the mm-hmm. perfect time for this. Because this is a film that when my friend and I came out of the theater, you just felt a warmth in you. Because mm-hmm. it's just so moving and it's lovely. And even though it's about a severed hand looking for its owner, it's very much kind of like a whimsical children's movie almost.
In a strange, weird
yeah,
way.
Yeah.
Is it a feature length?
It is.
Is that going to get a short theatrical release then to Netflix?
I think that's what Netflix is pretty much doing with most of its films now.
Yeah.
Is doing some sort of theatrical alongside of the Netflix release to try to get yeah. Oscar consideration.
Even if it's just for a week.
Yeah.
Because
they want to get nominated for Oscars, and the only way you can do that is if you have some sort of theatrical run, which is why The Irishman's getting a theatrical release.
Right, it'll be there too.
This film probably, because this won Best Animated at Cannes,
mm-hmm.
so they want to try to push this for Best Animated as well.
Could be another big year for Netflix at the Oscars.
Yeah.
And then there's Dolomite, you know, Is My Name, which is another one they're doing that with.
So that one was, so we had two secret screenings this year. Mm-hmm. Neither was The Joker.
Yeah.
Neither was Dr. Sleep, which were the two heavy favorites.
The ones you would think the most obvious.
The first one, which was nobody thought, which was Dolomite Is My Name.
And I found that out somewhere that came up, and I was blown away by that.
Yeah. And at first, what turned out to be it wasn't something that we all guessed.
Yeah.
Ended up being such a great film.
Oh, everything I've heard so far is that I've read a review that called it the perfect film.
Yeah, it is the best Eddie Murphy's been in two decades, at least.
Yeah, it's really vintage, classic Eddie Murphy. I mean, the moment I saw the trailer, and I see the people that are in it, the ensemble.
He looks like he's having fun.
Yeah.
Like he's not there for a paycheck.
Yeah, which was what happened for a while. And then he even admitted himself. He's like,
I was phoning it in for a long time.
He's like, I'm just going to stop doing movies just for the money. I think at one point he said, I'm just going to stop taking roles just for the paycheck. And he took a break. He kind of took a break. I mean, he did a few little small things kind of in there for a while. But the break, I think, did him some good.
Mm-hmm. That, I think it energized him because he has a ton of energy in this film.
I saw an interview where he said that, you know, what do you like to do? And he said, you know what I like to do is absolutely nothing. I like to just stay at home and in the quiet and just lay there and sit there or do nothing. And then he would go to Starbucks. mm-hmm. walk to Starbucks with his wife or whatever, or take a stroll. And he did just lived for a while. I know he liked to watch Dancing with the Stars too. He was outed for that at one point of being a big Dancing with the Stars fanatic. But yeah, that movie, and then the same director is now working with him again in Coming to America.
To America, yeah. Yeah.
And then it's also now, apparently, I think it might be official that his next film after, well, he's going to do the Netflix, he's going to come back and do stand-up, which actually I've got something on that. We can talk about that later. He's going to come back and do stand-up, and that's a big thing with Netflix he's going to do. And then he's going to do the Beverly Hills Cop 4
right
after they're done with Coming to America.
Yeah, I'm really excited to that. Speaking of Dolemite, see Robert Cargill, who wrote Sinister, Doctor mm-hmm. Strange. He's working on Doctor Strange 2 right now.
Yeah.
Sat next to him during Guns Akimbo, and he said Dolemite is one of those films where he feels like if he's in a creative rut at home while he's screenwriting,
yeah.
that he can just put that movie on and just watch like 30 minutes of it,
yeah.
and then just get his creative juices flowing because it's just so entertaining and just mm-hmm. kind of loosen the gears in his head.
Another thing that's worthy to mention is that it could potentially be Oscar worthy in terms of Eddie Murphy being nominated, probably for Best Picture.
Yeah.
But definitely for Eddie Murphy yeah. for Best Actor. And it's going to be a real interesting year because I think we're going to see somebody from The Irishman probably on that list. I think you get Leo DiCaprio for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood for Best Actor. I would suspect Brad Pitt as well,
yeah.
For in there as well. So it's going to be a really the big list of stars.
Yeah, I mean, and Netflix already, every film I've seen at the Draft House in the last 2 weeks has played a Dolemite trailer,
mm-hmm.
and right after it says on Netflix and in theaters.
Yeah, yeah, it'll be dropping in October
yeah.
in theaters, and I think you can see it now here in town, and it's been out like in L.A. and stuff before that.
Yeah, so that was fantastic. The second secret screening mm-hmm. was The Lighthouse with our new Batman, Robert yes. Pattinson, and Willem Dafoe. And it's essentially just these two actors mm-hmm. as a lighthouse keeper and a helper or whatever the lighthouse helper is.
Yeah.
And wow, is that film just nuts. And it's filmed very old school, 4x3.
It looked really interesting.
And it's just these two men's descent into madness.
Mm-hmm.
And Robert Eggers, who previously did The Witch and he directed mm-hmm. this, he said he originally wrote a role for Robert Pattinson, which was very much like a gentleman, a sherry drinking, you know, pipe smoking gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
And Robert Pattinson came back to him and said, no, I want something more challenging.
Yes, I saw that.
I want something more crazy. And so I was like, yeah, that sounds great. And there are scenes in this where you can tell Robert Pattinson's been working out. He's been hitting the gym
already. I mean, probably for that role, but mainly probably for Batman.
Yeah,
for the Batman as it's been called. I don't know if that's the official working title, but the internet has definitely called it mm-hmm. the Batman for several for a while now.
Oh yeah, definitely.
He seems to be going the way of like where Johnny Depp wanted to go for many years. Where I mean, despite being a pretty boy, he wanted to take on the more challenging roles
right.
that didn't necessarily display the looks, but displayed the acting chops and gave him a chance to kind of hide a little bit and not be just kind of coast along on looks.
Exactly. Yeah, he was definitely taking the more independent roles where he could really like cut his teeth and get into a role. Mentally and physically. And so I definitely appreciate that about him. He obviously did not want the stigma of being Edward for forever.
Yeah. No, and even with the Batman, even though it's a more of a mainstream, obviously, a property, that's still probably a role he considered to be one that was going to allow him to branch out.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. But that one was, I loved that film. I understand mm-hmm. it wasn't for everybody, but I really enjoyed it. The score is eerie and the shots are beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
One that kind of flew under the radar for me because it premiered at the same time on its first running, its world premiere was Against Jojo Rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of like, oh, I can't see it. It's the new Daniel Radcliffe movie, Guns Akimbo.
Yeah.
Which is just fun. And I'm so glad I saw it during the second running when it was a midnight movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about a internet troll. Mm-hmm. And he's an internet troll who...
very timely subject matter.
Yeah, he works for a cell phone game company,
mm-hmm.
which is he's miserable doing. So he just spends his evenings having a few beers and trolling on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day he trolls the wrong people who run like a webcam deathmatch league. So they find him and they bolt guns to his hand and said, good luck. You have 24 hours and we're sending our best killer to hunt you down.
Ooh, that sounds good.
And he can't grab anything because he's just got these two pistols and he's a loser. And the person hunting him is Samara Weaving from Ready or Not, who she's getting major buzz since that film. She's like the next Margot Robbie.
Mm-hmm.
And in this, she's hidden under a bunch of makeup and piercings or something, but she is fantastic as well.
That sounds fun.
But it's supposed to come out sometime next summer, mm-hmm. and you can definitely feel that the film's not... The effects aren't quite... They weren't done yet.
Okay, so even unfinished, possibly, the cut you saw.
Yeah. So that, I mean, there were a few other Netflix releases, In the Shadow of the Moon, mm-hmm. which already dropped on Netflix, mm-hmm. In the Tall Grass, which is a Stephen King adaptation, also just dropped on Netflix.
Netflix seems to already be trying to make up for some of the deficiency of stuff they're going to be already have lost from Disney Plus launching.
Oh, yeah. Another one, which I didn't watch at the festival because I saw it at Overlook Fest earlier this year, was The Vast of Night,
mm-hmm.
which apparently just got bought by Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
So this was a little film filmed in Whitney, Texas, and it's now been picked up by Amazon, and that director is going to get all kinds of money now.
It's off. Yeah, he's off and running when you get the Netflix deal or the Amazon deal. Are we in the era of streaming wars?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
I can't wait until November 12th when Disney Plus comes out.
Speaking of that. Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, we're going to get HBO Max from Warner Brothers here shortly.
Yeah. And then...
The Apple.
The Apple with the Jennifer Aniston series, her first television job.
Jason Momoa movie.
Yeah, Jason Momoa. And then Peacock. NBC mm-hmm. is getting their beaks in the whole game as well.
Yeah, but I mean, this year it was just a lot of fun. Again, the actors and directors just hanging out with all of us, and mm-hmm. it was great to see. You know, we did have the whatever the anti-terrorist people there.
Yeah,
so the armed security walking around because it's a potential terrorist location, which was kind of a bummer when you'd see guys walking around when people are just trying to have fun. But
because it's a fun environment, and then you've got that, and you know that happened the first time I've seen that on American soil, like guys and with machine guns and combat gear just standing out in the street where normally it's just, you know, people. It was in the more obvious spot was when we went to New York. First time I went to New York City, we went to New York and we went to the Ground Zero, to the now the monument where they have the memorial for 9/11, and there was a lot of that going on there. And I wasn't too surprised about that at that point. Really caught me off guard was just a couple of weeks ago when we went to the Texas Longhorn game
mm-hmm.
to see them play Oklahoma State. And thanks to our friend Shama for hooking us up with the tickets. She's got season tickets and wanted to get rid of them. Yeah, wanted to get rid of them that week, so we got to go. But yeah, it was at the Darrell K. Royal Stadium that was going on a little bit. So I was kind of caught off guard by that experience. And then I heard that it was happening at the theaters, and I was on the fence about going to see the Joker weekend one, and not because I was worried about the shootings. I was worried about how it was going to kind of taint the experience because of all the security.
Yeah.
Yeah. And ultimately, I stayed away, but not for either of those reasons I mentioned. It was because our son broke his ankle.
Oh.
So that was the reason why I stayed home. But so that it was a little bit weird, I'm sure.
Yeah. But overall, I mean, great festival. Mm-hmm. I would say this is one of those festivals where it wasn't until the fourth or fifth day that mm-hmm. I even walked out of a movie after the film being like, well, that wasn't great
mm-hmm.
or it wasn't good.
Mm-hmm.
And there were really only like 3 duds out of 28. So
that's pretty good.
That's a good track record. Didn't get the Fantastic Flu.
Didn't get it this year.
Nope. This is the, I guess, second year in a row. So maybe in my older age, I'm getting better about knowing when and when not to go to the films, but
pacing yourself.
Yeah. Pacing myself. eating right.
Knowing when to say when. Yeah, eating right's a big part of it.
You know, dropping an airborne tab in my water first film of the day. And then just making sure to get plenty of sleep.
It was
never good getting home at 2 in the morning and then getting up at like 9 to go to another.
That's where you get in trouble.
Every day. For 8 days. So this one, and it was a Mexico theme, which was nice, very colorful. Mm-hmm. So last year was Korea, this year was Mexico. Mm-hmm. And it was just a joy. The closing night party was pretty laid back compared to other years.
Really? Why was that? You think?
In years past, we've had like the band Ichio, which is just crazy. You know, it's like they put on giant quite a mob. And there was a marching band this year, but it's just not quite as crazy.
It doesn't set that tone.
Yeah, and here it was in a larger area that had an outdoor and an indoor, mm-hmm. so it was more spread out.
Yeah, and okay.
So you had like the area inside with the band, and then area outside was just like they had a projector with some light music playing in the background. It was just kind of people chilling and talking. Mm-hmm. It was less rowdy, which, I mean, it didn't bother me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was different. It was different. Can't be the same. You got to change it up sometimes.
Yeah. But I mean, if there was any movies I would say stay away from, mm-hmm. at least ones that are probably going to be wide release. It actually pains me to say this.
Uh-oh.
But, Brad Anderson, who directed The Machinist with Christian Bale.
Yes.
His new film Fractured with Sam Worthington from, you know, Avatar.
Oh, man.
It was a snoozer. It really was. And
it's too bad.
It's also a Netflix release.
Yeah.
But I'm guessing there's a reason Netflix hasn't been hyping this one like they are Dolomite and Irishman.
Yeah.
There's a reason, and I saw the film, and I understand why they're not hyping this one up.
Right now, if you had to, and this is breaking away a little bit from Fantastic Fest, not completely breaking away, but it does kind of overlap. Right now, if you had to pick your Oscar favorite, I don't know if you've done your Oscar favorite, would you put Once Upon a Time in Hollywood as your best picture right now without seeing Irishman, or would there be another one?
So right now, I currently have Once Upon a Time in Mexico as my favorite film of the year.
Uh-huh.
It'll probably be nominated for Best Picture.
Hollywood. Yeah. No, well, yeah, Once Upon a Time.
Why did I say Mexico?
I did that before, too. Yeah,
Hollywood.
Yeah.
That film, and then, again, Bong Joon-ho's Parasite has a really good shot at getting nominated. I don't think it'll win.
Mm-hmm. Of course, there could always be an upset. Yeah. Something.
I think it'll definitely win Best Foreign. I think it's kind of one of those things like last year with Roma.
Mm-hmm.
To where,
yeah,
you know, it'll get a nomination, but last year the speculation going into the Oscars was Roma was gonna win Best Picture.
Oh yeah,
and it had the best odds, and it didn't win.
So there's the upset sometimes. Well, that's without seeing The Irishman,
yes,
and some of these others.
Because with The Irishman, even at 3.5 hours, I've heard nothing but great things about it from the people who have seen it.
Yeah. Yeah, it had to be good to get Joe Pesci to come out of retirement. I mean, I'm sure there was a nice check to entice him to come out of retirement, but he did it. Yeah, he came out of retirement to do that movie. Did you have the festival glasses on, and then later we've talked about what you call the festival glasses.
Mm-hmm.
And was there a movie that you saw initially you kind of walked out impressed, but then later in hindsight, maybe I didn't like that movie as much?
I mean, I would say there are probably films in here that I won't watch again.
Mm-hmm.
There are probably several. Mm-hmm. I would say there's also one in here, I think, there's two in here that could possibly get American remakes.
Yeah.
One's called The Pool, and it's about a man who's trapped in a pool and can't get out.
Interesting.
What happens is he falls asleep while on a floaty, and a coworker hits the drain thing on the pool, and when he wakes up, he's already too low to be able to climb out, and there's no ladder, no stairs, so he's just trapped in the pool. And then eventually a crocodile finds its way into that empty pool.
Wow. How long is that? What's the runtime on that?
91 minutes.
Yeah.
So just a man, a crocodile, and a pool.
Simple concept. I mean, the crocodile is not so simple to film. Takes a little bit, there's some logistics there, but simple, but at the same time, very complex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And another film called 4x4, which mm-hmm. is out of South America. It's mm-hmm. about, and this is based on a true story. It's about a thief who breaks into a car to steal the radio and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets locked in the car.
Wow.
So it was a,
another
it was one
trapped
of those, it was one of those scenario. Safe, like safe cars or whatever. Mm-hmm. So he goes in there, he pulls out the radio, and then when he tries to get out, he can't get out. The windows are all bulletproof and soundproof.
Mm-hmm.
People can't see in the windows, so he's just trapped in the car. And then eventually the owner of the car calls him on the car radio, explaining that he's been robbed so many times in his life that uh-huh. he built this car specifically for if somebody tried to rob him again.
Like his own Batmobile.
That he would catch them. So it's really good up until the last, like, 20 minutes. It gets mm-hmm. very, very, like, political.
Really?
Yeah, which I think it kind of got away from what it was doing, which was, like, mm-hmm. a really cool, crazy premise. But yeah. it was also neat that it was loosely based off of a true story.
Does the car ever take off and start self-driving him to places? Like no. trying to scare him?
No, but I'll put it this way. The owner does do some interesting tricks with how the guy can get water or something to eat.
Mm-hmm.
You also think about it, it's South America and you're locked in a car
mm-hmm.
with no air running or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that's how a lot of parents get in trouble
or
people in general when they leave their animal or child in the car.
Child or whatever, yeah.
So this guy's locked in the car.
No air conditioning running.
No air conditioner running.
In South Africa. South America?
South America.
South America, yeah.
It's like Argentina or something.
Oh, yeah, very tropical and hot.
Yeah. But yeah, great films. Death of Dick Long, a comedy mm-hmm. that's going to be coming out here shortly.
Mm-hmm.
It takes place now, but it feels very 2000s because it takes place in Alabama. So mm-hmm. they're kind of behind in the times. They're still listening to like Creed and Stained and some 2000s rock.
It's kind of like people are always saying Tampa Bay is stuck in the 80s mm-hmm. still. And I think there's some places like that, or they're kind of doing more than 90s.
Yeah.
Still.
It's very, this movie is very funny it feels very much like a Coen Brothers film.
Uh-huh.
Just there are things that you wouldn't think are funny, and they're just hilarious the way they do it.
They have a way of kind of creating, it's like the Coen Brothers have a way of creating their own world, their own universe, mm-hmm. kind of within the film that feels like a Coen Brothers-esque type universe.
Yeah, very much so.
Mm-hmm.
And A24 picked that one up, so it's going to be getting a release sometime later this year.
That's great. That's cool. Getting into some of the stuff we missed.
Yes.
During the hiatus, while we were off. Dive into the television for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Arrowverse.
Yeah.
In the Infinite Earths storyline. Of course, the Infinite Earths has been part of the comic book of DC comic books storyline in the past, and now it's being adapted for Arrowverse. And this has been talked about now for a while.
Yeah.
And the rumors of a possible Smallville crossover, which is now going to come into fruition.
Yeah. I'm pretty excited about it. I don't watch a lot of the stuff that's still on like network television.
Yeah.
I watch some. Yeah. The only one of the Arrowverse I still really keep up with is The Flash.
Yeah.
And I'll be the first one to admit it's not great, but it's, you know, it's just fun.
Yeah.
And so I am looking forward. I have watched the crossovers every year. So those are some of the ones I do, you know, watch all of them.
More of a television event when those happen.
Yeah, because basically they'll do, you know, like Monday night is Supergirl mm-hmm. part of the crossover, mm-hmm. then Arrow, then Flash.
And they do them. They've been doing them for like every year.
Yeah.
For the last several.
That's one of those things where it is like an event, a mini-series mm-hmm. almost, where you watch every night of the week. And so I'll do that. And I am looking forward to this because they're bringing in all this stuff.
This is a particularly interesting one because it's not just the existing universe and the characters like Supergirl and The Flash and all those others that are being brought in. It's now bringing in the Infinite Earth storyline, which mm-hmm. brings in from other parallel universes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because they had kind of dabbled in that
mm-hmm.
When they had John Wesley Shipp come back as the Flash from the 90s.
Which I love that idea uh-huh. when they did that.
So, you know, now it's like, okay, people actually really responded to that
mm-hmm.
positively. So let's go visit some other areas that mm-hmm. people can really fanboy out about.
Yeah, and they did that. They're going to give us the Smallville. Mm-hmm. They're also going to bring in from Superman Returns,
Brandon Routh, who is normally in as the Atom.
Yeah.
So now he's going to play the Atom, but then I guess the alternate version of himself is Superman.
It's Superman. So he's going to be playing two different characters in that storyline. Yeah, and so they're going to have at least a couple. I know Lois Lane, right?
Is going to be from Smallville.
From Smallville, and then Clark Kent from Smallville is going to be in there.
Unfortunately, I believe Lex Luthor mm-hmm. said he was not going to be in there.
He's not going to be participating in that. Yeah. So, yeah, so we got at least, a couple of the key characters from Smallville that are going to be coming back.
Yeah.
And there was talk. People joked about the idea of Nicolas Cage coming in.
Yeah.
And apparently the I don't know if it was the producer that or the showrunner, but had said, oh, yeah, he joked about it and said that they did try it. Mm-hmm. They were considering it, but somehow, for some reason, it didn't work out. So, and that would have been interesting. This is an interesting, and to segue into another DC topic, J.J. Abrams just signed a huge deal with Warner Entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And the speculation or the talk online was that he was offered something with Disney to stay on with Disney. Mm-hmm. He was offered something over at Paramount. Yep. To continue on with Paramount, where he had been doing Star Trek for quite a while, and for whatever reason with Disney, it's kind of speculation. Some people say, oh, he doesn't want to do any more Star Wars, and they wouldn't let him do Marvel. Mm-hmm. Or there was not room for him at Marvel to do anything there because it was already a pretty crowded place, and that's what he wanted to do, was to either do Marvel or not stay at all. And then over at Paramount, I don't know the whole story at Paramount why that wasn't going to work out, but that for some reason he went with Warner, and the speculation is that he went with Warner because he wants to do some DC stuff. Mm-hmm. And then possibly even Superman, maybe a Justice League. And so the talk with now the Batman being a next upcoming big DC property. And then we're going to get an Aquaman sequel. We're going to get Wonder Woman 1984. The Wonder Woman 1984 and then Aquaman are all a part of that
DCEU.
The DCEU that was established with the Zack Snyder Man of Steel. And then you have
Shazam's also in there.
Shazam's also part of that. So it's a very still a very full field right now. Suicide Squad's
in there.
With James Gunn.
Which now we have Birds of Prey.
Birds of Prey. And I don't know, would it be safe to call Suicide Squad 2 a soft reboot? Would that be fair?
See, that's the tricky part, because they're bringing back some of the original members.
Yeah.
But then they're also adding like 10 new people.
Yeah, there's all these new people that are coming in. So the speculation with JJ is that he wants to do Superman. He wants to tackle Superman and then possibly do something maybe with Justice League after that.
Yeah, and he wrote a Superman story years ago.
Yes, before Superman Returns, he had a Superman concept, did he not?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he wanted to do it from way back.
Mm-hmm.
So the talk has been, so the Batman is supposed to be a completely separate universe.
Correct.
Which was a surprise to me when I first found this out, because I thought for the longest time it was going to be a prequel to the Batfleck.
And that's what I thought too, until it came out that it's just its own thing.
Mm-hmm.
And like they're not using J. Jonah Jameson as Gordon.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Completely different cast, recasting there.
They were trying to get Mahershala Ali, but obviously now he's Blade.
Yeah.
So they went with Jeffrey Wright.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's completely different.
It's completely different, so it's a different universe. But then there was talk about JJ doing now with everybody saying that Henry Cavill is out as Superman. Mm-hmm. Because it was kind of in limbo for a while. I don't know, is he officially out?
See, that's the thing is, it was like, okay, he's gonna be out unless they agree that he's getting another Superman movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't get why they're just sitting on Superman.
Mm-hmm.
Still to this day, I think Man of Steel is a really good film.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people who really liked that movie, and everybody was wanting a sequel because it was like, okay, by the end of that film, you see Superman.
Mm-hmm.
And I do feel like the end of Justice League, we really got more of the Superman people had been wanting,
yeah,
which was that, you know, stood for hope, and he was mm-hmm. more joyful. He wasn't brooding.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a step in the right direction. And I think they really just needed to give him his own movie, mm-hmm. you know, and give him Brainiac or Darkseid or whoever, give him a good villain. And, you know, I feel for Henry Cavill because I think he's shown with other movies like Man from U.N.C.L.E. and also the Mission Impossible Fallout that he's a great actor. And
he's a great actor.
He's a star.
And he's a really good Superman. Mm-hmm. I thought he made a great Superman for, you know, modern times. And the story I read was him and Amy Adams were going to be in the J.J. version of Superman if he had done it.
Okay.
That's I just read that today. Again, I don't know if that's internet gossip or if there was actually some substantial, real, solid information that contributed to that. But one other thing that's been kind of thrown out there about the J.J. Abrams, and I believe for sure he's going to do some DC stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's been confirmed. All we know for sure is that he's signed on as multi-picture deal with Warner. But I think he's definitely, I think all the everything is pointing in that direction that he's going to do some DC stuff. What DC stuff he's going to do right out of the gate, I don't know. I'd like to see him. Honestly, I would personally like to see him tackle the Green Lantern Corps.
Oh, yeah. That would be really fun.
I think he could do something really good with that. And I would like to see him do that first, actually, you know, before he goes in and tries. But so the talk was that he was going to do Superman, then Justice League. And he wanted to do it as a soft reboot with a different actor playing Superman. And there was even speculation about them doing the Infinite Earths storyline to explain the difference in there suddenly, you know, to where they could still have the existing DC expanded universe with the Aquaman and the Wonder Woman, the Gal Gadot version, and then the Shazam, but then to be able to explain them recasting Superman and having a different Batman at the same time.
I mean, I still subscribe to the fact that you don't ever have to have the TV and the movies meet, but you can still say they're part of the same universe. They're just, it's different Earths. Same thing. You have the DC Universe streaming service TV shows, which in my opinion, those TV shows have been superior to the CW shows.
Yeah.
Titans really found its footing towards the end of season one.
Mm-hmm.
Doom Patrol was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Like, that was some of the best TV I've seen in the last 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then also Swamp Thing was really, really good.
Yeah.
And I haven't really gotten to sink into season two of Titans, but I've heard pretty good things about it.
That's so, continuing on with this.
Like, that's another Earth. That's a different Batman.
Different thing, yeah.
And that Batman is in that. And then you have the CW's Batwoman, who's in a different world where Batman exists. So mm-hmm. just, you know, they don't have to connect. Just say they're part of the same universe, just different Earths.
Which is what they're doing with Arrowverse.
Yeah.
They're basically already doing that. And if they did the Infinite Earth storyline in the... do you think it'd be too much? Because they've already done it just recently in television. If JJ decides to go that route, do you think it'd be just too much too soon to do it again?
I really don't think so. And I mean, I do like that technically Brandon Routh is the same Superman as Christopher Reeve.
Mm-hmm.
And so in this crossover, he's playing like the older Superman.
Yes.
From the 70s.
Yeah, he looks older. He's got the graying in his hair now, and they made him look like the little bit older version of that Superman that he was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it could be fun if they decide to do it in the cinema world too and do something like that, because then you could bring in, you know, I hope JJ does the Nicolas Cage super. I hope they're saving it for that. I would love to see that. I wouldn't even mind seeing maybe for streaming. I thought of this today. Why not? That was going to be Tim Burton, wasn't it?
Tim Burton was going to do the Nick Cage Superman.
Yeah.
And then Kevin Smith was working on a Death of Superman.
Yeah, so they had the Kevin Smith and they had what Tim Burton was doing. Why not make that Nicolas Cage Superman movie finally?
Sure.
I mean, you got the DC streaming service.
Mm-hmm.
You could go that route with it. You could make a limited series and put all the same people in play to make that. and do the same suit that was put out on the web.
Right.
I mean, wouldn't the fans line up to watch that just out of curiosity to see what they were going to do and what they came up with?
Absolutely.
You know, so maybe, I don't know. I don't think that will happen, no, but probably not. It'd be fun. It'd be fun, though. It's an idea. I like to throw it out there. Maybe it will land somewhere. All in all, though, you're excited about the JJ idea of doing DC films.
Oh, yeah. I think as much as, you know, you might hear my opinions on JJ in terms of his mystery box filmmaking and it being pretty frustrating at times. Mm-hmm. I do think he's a talented filmmaker, and I think he's got a brilliant creative mind, and he's really good at building ideas and universes based on established IP. Like, that's what he did with Star Trek. That's what he did with Star Wars. I have nothing but faith that he could do that with another established IP like a DC property.
Yeah, he's already shown that he can do it with other properties and what he's done so far. And I liked what he did with the first Star Trek movie. I thought was
great,
fantastic. It was as good as any Star Trek movie I had been to see in the past, with the exception of maybe Wrath of Khan, the original.
Yeah, and I mean, I think a lot of people outside of the Trek community failed to realize there had not been a very successful Star Trek movie in a long time before that film.
Years.
That film put Star Trek back in people's thoughts. There wouldn't be the Star Trek Discovery show without those films.
Yeah. Right now with Star Trek, where I see Star Trek being and where it is, they really need the Picard show to be really good. If that were to lay an egg and be a dud, it would be devastating to Star Trek right now. But I think if Picard lives up to the expectations and hopes of the fans, I think then Star Trek, you know, is great going forward in the future. It kind of sets the tone. Where with Star Wars, I feel like there's a couple of things in their back pocket right now. I think The Mandalorian really looking forward to that. And that, I think, is going to be really good because I have faith in the people that are put in place to make it and be in it. I think it looks great. So that could be really good. And then Rise of Skywalker could come out and just be maybe kind of in people's eyes, maybe falls in line with Last Jedi, where it's kind of split where people's opinions are on it. And it just sort of gets a okay response, but not, you know, over the top. But I think Star Wars is still fine because of the television.
Yeah. I mean, you're still going to have The Mandalorian. You're still going to have The Clone Wars is coming back.
Yeah.
And now Kevin Feige is coming to produce Star Wars movies.
Yeah. So that's official? That's happening?
That is official.
That's a real thing, because that was speculation about that for a while.
It will be him with Kathleen Kennedy.
Breaking news up in this place.
God, the guy gets no days off, does he?
Well, and see, that's one of the things that came out of one of the next things we're talking about with the Spider-Man stuff, was Sony saying Kevin Feige's too busy to produce Spider-Man films, and we can get into that when we get into it. But yes, Kevin Feige's coming to Star Wars, and I think a lot of people have right to be excited about that, because the biggest problem with Star Wars has been the biggest strength with the Marvel films is there's no guidance throughout all of the films. They're just kind of all over the place. They're like, here you go, filmmaker, you go make the movie you want to make. Here you get a movie, you get a movie.
Yeah,
there's no
like cohesiveness.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you need a Kevin Feige to tell him, like, this is your movie.
He's the master of that.
But you need to hit these beats, because the next movie has to tie in by this, and this has to happen.
Yeah. If nothing else, as a consultant, it sounds like he's going to be kind of coming in as a consultant of sorts.
And he's going to come in on dailies and say, like, hey, remember I said you needed to put this in there. Where is that? That sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. He's the master of that. He's done the best with that as anybody I've ever seen.
Exactly.
And nobody's ever done what he's done in terms of taking as many films over the span of that many years and it having that cohesiveness exactly. that they were able to put together with that. Good segue. In fact, another important key thing about JJ is that he recently just did a Spider-Man, another superhero.
A comic book he with
did
his
a,
son.
With him and his son did a Spider-Man comic book series. And it's a limited series. Mm-hmm. I think maybe 10 issues or 10 comics they did. I think they just dropped the first one the other day. The reviews I read is it's very JJ. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I'm interested to read it. I'm going to definitely give it a look.
Yeah, I'll definitely pick it up. And I'm not usually somebody who buys individual issues. So
yeah.
I might kind of skim it. And then if it looks like it's worth a read,
yeah.
I might do the individual issues. Otherwise, yeah. I might wait for the compilation graphic novel.
Yeah, to get it all together. Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah, but he collaborated with his son. I don't even know how old his son is, but him and his son collaborated, and he got some of his favorite illustrators to collaborate with him on that. And JJ did a Spider-Man comic book
mm-hmm.
in addition to all the other stuff he's doing right now. So speaking of, we were talking about Feige and talking about Spider-Man. This summer, one of the biggest talks of the summer went on for weeks was that there had been a breakup between Marvel, Disney, and Sony over their agreement with Spider-Man and Spider-Man being used in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Mm-hmm.
And some people were like, oh, don't worry, don't sweat it. This is just a holdout. It's like Ezekiel Elliott holding out in training camp.
Mm-hmm.
Both sides are going to come back together because they know they need each other. And so a lot of people thought it was just sort of a holdout.
Yeah. And then there were the people out there who thought the sky was falling.
Yeah.
The boycott Sony thing. And the thing with this is, if anybody followed this, I mean, we even talked about it back when it first happened, mm-hmm. was he was only signed for 5 movies in the MCU.
Mm-hmm.
And Far From Home was the 5th movie. And
already,
it shouldn't have been surprising that after that, there was going to be some sort of negotiation, and Disney came to those initial negotiations a little heavy-handed with mm-hmm. what they wanted, and so they broke it off, which caused all of the ruckus, and I was one of those people when the initial breakup happened, I was like, there's too much money involved,
mm-hmm.
they're going to work out a deal,
mm-hmm.
and then guess what, in like 2 or 3 years when that deal's over, it's going to happen again. We see it all the time, like you said, with sports players.
Yeah, it happens all the time. The only thing that could make it a little different on the next go around is that I've read that Disney, so now actually with Sony, Sony's film division is for sale,
mm-hmm.
is what I understand. And a lot of people are interested because they, especially the streaming platforms like Netflix, are very interested in wanting to buy it. Because they will get that library.
Well, that's the thing. They've got a lot of pretty decent IP with Sony.
Mm-hmm. I would think they would.
But a lot of it's just been in their development, and they haven't actually put anything in a can.
Because
mm-hmm. Right now, they're shopping Masters of the Universe to Netflix.
Yeah.
Because they own the IP, but they don't want to make a movie because they're afraid they're not going to be able to make money. So mm-hmm. they're already shopping it to Netflix. They haven't even started making a movie.
And Netflix already has the cartoon, the animation stuff for Masters of the Universe, because Kevin Smith's going to do, mm-hmm. and his collaborator, his buddy that
Mark Bernardin, yeah.
that he does a show with, yeah.
So, I mean, I'm sure that Netflix has a big bank account.
Oh, yeah.
Right now.
They still have a bankroll. They've proven that in the past.
Just how many millions of subscribers they have at $10 to $15 a month. I mean, that's a lot of recurring money coming into their bank account. So
yeah, and there's all this talk about how they're losing a lot of content because of the competition and it's coming in. Disney Plus will do very well because of the Star Wars and Marvel.
Oh yeah, and the Disney catalog.
And the Disney catalog. It's not too shabby either. Oh, yeah,
by the way. The Simpsons, all the Fox stuff.
They got all the Fox stuff. So Disney's gonna do really well. They're gonna give Netflix a run for their money in terms of people's favorite destination for streaming content. Netflix, I'm sure, even with all the new launches of like CBS All Access, Hulu's still there, and then more coming, I'm sure Netflix hasn't really lost many subscribers over the past couple of years because of habit.
Yeah, no, habit, and I think people are now used to the fact that, you know, every week there's at least one new movie or TV show or miniseries coming out on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be water cooler talk.
Yeah.
So, and I do appreciate the fact that, you know, coming from the AV industry where 4K is becoming more standard,
mm-hmm.
Netflix, everything they put out is in 4K HDR. So yeah. It is in the best possible picture quality that you can get at home.
Yeah. They've got their finger on the pulse of the technology and bringing people the best performance mm-hmm. in terms of the viewing experience. Yeah. So that, with that, now it's back. And I think they re-up for just, a couple films, at least for right now. But here's the thing, on the Disney Plus, with the Sony being on the possible sale block, and that will happen. If they want to sell, they'll get acquired by somebody. The film division will get acquired by somebody. But then apparently when that happens, the deal is that the Spider-Man stuff defaults back to Disney, and they get everything if it's sold. As part of the deal they have is that Sony would lose that and would default back to Disney. So Disney, kind of knowing that too, can kind of do a short-term deal and kind of hope they buy themselves a couple more years, and then maybe in a few years that kind of works itself out and they end up with Spider-Man anyway.
Yeah, my guess is they would probably prefer somebody like Universal or Warner Brothers acquires Sony.
Yeah.
And then they just get Spider-Man basically for free.
Yeah. Now, what I don't know is how it would work with the Spider-Verse, into the Spider-Verse, right. Whether that would also go to Disney or whether that stays at...
My understanding is it's just the IP in general.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So if Disney got that and they got the Spider-Verse, which is already now established franchise... which is a little awkward because the guys that are making those films,
Lord and Miller
had left. They left Lucasfilm on kind of a weird note. Mm-hmm.
The thing with that is now with Feige there.
Yeah,
I feel like had Feige been there back then, I feel like he would have been a strong enough producer
mm-hmm.
that he would have kept them in more where the studio wanted them
yeah.
from the get go.
Yeah,
I think that's what happened is they gave them too long of a leash until it got bad.
Yeah.
And then when they tried to reel the leash in, Lord Miller pushed back. And I think if you have that strong producer from the get, then it's more smooth sailing.
And those guys are no hacks. I mean, they've proven their worth with what they did with Spider-Man.
Spider-Verse and the Lego movies.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Their resume should be enough to have confidence in them and what they're doing.
Their humor resonates with younger and older audiences.
I think it'd be cool if they even got another shot at Star Wars down the road. Maybe not something so close to the original saga, but something, you know, more Mandalorian-esque where they could kind of branch out a little bit mm-hmm. and have more range.
Well, yeah. I mean, with Disney Plus and them, you know, doing all of these shows now, you know, with The Mandalorian and then Clone mm-hmm. Wars and then Obi-Wan.
Yeah. Which, by the way, wow, there's another big announcement that happened while we were on a break, was that the Obi-Wan show was confirmed with Ewan McGregor. And that's probably the most anticipated announcement that people have been waiting for years.
Well, and that's the thing is ever since Disney acquired Star Wars,
yeah,
that was the first thing everybody on everybody's mind was, yes, an Obi-Wan movie.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're getting, you know, I want to say it was either 6 or 8 episode Obi-Wan TV show.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's even better.
I agree. And because they'll be able to flesh out the story more.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's really hard to do it in a movie. One standalone movie, the Solo story being a good example.
Because the thing that I don't want to say dislike, but I wish they would have had was they didn't give us anything new about the character other than the dumb way he got his name.
Yeah.
Basically, we just got to see a young version of Harrison Ford. He did everything the same.
Yeah.
Like, why didn't we get to see, like, how he got that way? Like, what was he doing that made him that way?
Yeah, it was sort of, they have to compact it all into one movie, and they won't have to do that now with the Obi-Wan story. We'll get it really fleshed out.
Like, how did he go from being this very, you know, Jedi master who mm-hmm. was not cocky, but, you know, very sure of himself mm-hmm. to this old hermit
yeah.
who, doesn't even want to go off on an adventure.
Kind of high in hiding.
Yeah.
And, you know, becoming a hermit. Yeah. So we're going to get to see that now. This is going to be great. This should be a lot of fun. Should be. I always liked Obi. I thought Ewan McGregor did it great as Obi-Wan too.
And you can tell he's excited.
Yeah, he's really wanting to do it.
He's been wanting to do it for a long time.
Yeah, yeah, so. Yeah. And of course he came in and did a little bit of work for JJ in Force Awakens. Probably, I would be surprised if he doesn't come in and do a little bit of work for Rise of Skywalker in the same vein, where we get maybe some voice work from him in the same concept. Speaking of that. Speaking of Star Wars, a good segue into Star Wars.
Yeah. Star Wars. Star Wars. Star Wars. Star Wars. Star Wars.
Rise of Skywalker. We, of course, over the summer, before we even went on break, we got a teaser trailer that we've had that now to sit on for a few months. And now we'll probably get the full trailer. And we'll be maybe only one of like maybe two or three that we'll get before the movie actually drops in December. But we'll get some new stuff.
Yeah.
Very soon. Probably this month.
Because, I mean, we had our initial one during the Star Wars convention.
Yeah.
And then we got that little teaser sometime later where it had the clips from the old movies and the prequels. Mm-hmm. And then we saw the Rey with the double lightsaber.
Got one more new video, yeah.
And then I guess this next one, which will be on, assume presumptually Monday Night Football, either sometime this month.
Yeah,
will be our final or our last like big one. There might be one more like final trailer, or they'll probably call it final trailer, and then we'll get the TV spots.
And they do a couple international spots like late.
They'll throw a little extra nuggets in there. But yeah, I mean, I'm ready. And I can't imagine with how much they're adding shots from the older movies into these trailers. I kind of wonder if they're going to keep doing that, because JJ is being so secretive about this, and everything I heard out of Force Friday was they only released about 30% of the merch. Because JJ and Disney didn't want anything else to come out until December, because he felt like too much of it was spoilers.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You know, when you do put out merch, they can be spoilers. They often are. They really give you a lot of information. Is there anything you were able to take from what you saw from Force Friday?
And that's the thing, too, is usually I can at least pick out something, whether it's from a Lego set, which I don't collect all the Legos or anything, but usually I'll see a Lego set and be like, huh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
That's got to have something to do with the movie.
Yeah.
But this year, nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, they're like literally nothing. And I think they did it on purpose with the fact that they called it Triple Force Friday, which means a lot of the merch was from The Mandalorian. And a lot of the merch was from the new video game coming out, Jedi Fallen Order.
And they gave him an opportunity to still fill it out a little bit with the other Star Wars.
So there was still plenty of, you know, there was still plenty of merch to be had. Thank you, Amazon Treasure Truck.
Yeah.
You saved me this year.
Gotta love it.
Oh, gosh. It was amazing, because I went early in the morning to stand in the lines like everybody else, like every Force Friday I do, and go into the Target, which just added a Disney store inside.
We're
one of only 25 in the country.
Really?
Yeah.
Which Target? The one
Northwest Austin, the one, nice one up there, the one by Lake Line.
Yes.
But yeah, they've got like a little Disney store inside the Target.
Oh, wow.
Because they closed the one at the mall.
Oh, it's too bad.
Yeah.
They did close the one at the mall.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, waiting in line with all these other people, and we go in there and they barely had anything. And it was really disheartening.
Yeah.
So, like, luckily everyone was nice, and we were like, okay, well, like, I'll just take this one, and, like, did you get any?
People were orderly.
Yeah. I was like, wow, this is really
nice. That's amazing.
Nice people. And then so, you know, ran around to a few other places trying to find stuff, and then I'm in an FYE. They just opened, and get a text message, and it was like, now on the treasure truck, Star Wars Black Series, first edition, full case of all 8 figures.
Oh, my gosh.
So it was like, boom, boom, boom.
That easy.
And it was like, pick up in 30 minutes.
at this location. Yeah. Treasure Truck, you gotta love it.
Oh gosh, and it was all because this year they did a first edition of each figure, which is in like a special edition white box and everything. And I was like, wow, Treasure Truck, you are the best.
And sometimes you go there and they'll have even refreshments when you go pick up your whatever you ordered.
It was great. And rolled up, had them scan my thing, and
it's in and out real quick. No matter what it is you're there to pick up, it's usually they make it really fast to get in and out, do your scan, and get going. That saved Force Friday this year. Or Triple Force Friday.
Yeah, Triple Force Friday.
So, yeah, so hopefully we'll get that in a couple of weeks. And I have
and
a question.
Assume tickets on sale as well, I assume.
Yeah, because they did that last time. I think they did that for the last two movies. They would put the trailer out on Monday Night Football, and then tickets would go on sale immediately after. Yeah, and then the internet's crashing all over the place.
Yep.
And websites are crashing all over the place. But yeah, they'll go on sale pretty quick. And do you usually go and buy a couple of nights of tickets to start off?
I usually do like the Thursday night, and then I'll usually do like the Friday, like early afternoon, watch it by myself.
Yeah, get that one in advance.
Gotta digest it. And then we'll see if I don't know if I'll do a 3D this year for this one.
Yeah, why not?
I don't know. I haven't seen a good 3D movie in a long time.
Yeah.
And the Force Awakens was actually pretty decent in 3D, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember, because I saw a 3D version of it. I remember enjoying it in 3D, but yeah, you're right. Some things sometimes are just like, I could have dealt with it without 3D. Has to be just the right movie. Obviously, the classics were like the Avatar in 3D. I would want to see the Avatar sequels in 3D as well. Those are movies I feel like I got to see in 3D.
And I mean, a lot of the animated movies were good in 3D, like the Disney Pixar stuff was looked good in 3D. But yeah, it's just really lost its luster from its last 10 years.
Yeah, I really enjoyed watching, and I think it was one that was doctored up after they made the original cut of the film, but I enjoyed seeing Tron Legacy at the IMAX 3D.
Oh, that
3D.
Was very good in 3D, actually. Yeah.
So that was one that I would put on my list of movies that, like, I wouldn't have taken that one back.
And I actually own that in a 3D Blu-ray.
Really?
Yeah, and I don't have a 3D TV anymore.
So they
stopped making 3D TVs.
Because it just wasn't a thing.
Yeah.
People. Do you think VR might be maybe what they wanted 3D TV to be? The VR might make it to that point?
I think so. If they can crisp up the resolution. Mm-hmm. What's crazy was I did a consult for a guy who's building a... It's on his property. He's building essentially his own pinballs on his property for him.
Like a giant pinball?
Pinballs, the arcade?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Pinballs, the arcade.
So
the actual arcade.
On his property, he retired. He's building this giant building with basically he has over 50 pinball machines.
Wow.
And then when you go down, he's building like a bowling alley and all this stuff.
That's serious baller.
And it's for him.
That's gangster's fuck.
Yeah, it's crazy because I was Brunswick is building the bowling alley for him.
Wow,
yeah,
that's serious. That's some serious business. That's really the place you want to get invited to parties.
Yeah. Oh, he was do a good job, and I'll invite you to a party.
Yeah, that's where you want to get invited to for the parties for sure. Another party we all want to get invited to is a party we call Agree or Disagree. And it's right after this.
That seems pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, you were saying it'll feel a little looser the more I wear it.
Yeah.
But this is great. Look at that.
Yeah, but that works.
While we were on break, Suri just starts talking to me, like, out of the blue, like, you know, like she's known to do. Suri, after Suri talks to me, whispers in my ear, tell me, Suri, how are you doing?
slap your dick against my pussy so hard that it creates a shockwave and blows my pubes off.
All right, Johnny Lightfoot, on this 109th episode, I believe, of the Thunderpop podcast, I've got agree or disagree for you. Number one, speaking of Star Wars, we have to have a Star Wars question in this one. We've been off for a while. Much speculation about the Knights of Ren, and that's something we didn't talk about in this episode. And I believe that we will get them in The Rise of Skywalker. I think that this time it's really going to happen. I don't think it's going to be just teasing us again. I think they've teased us way too much not to finally give it to us in this movie. Okay, I mean, I've got blue balls for how long I've been waiting for the Knights of Ren. So, do you agree or disagree that we will also get to see what's behind the mask of these knights in the film?
Ooh. Will we see what's behind the masks?
Will they go that far?
You know what? I'm going to disagree.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's, again, because they're avoiding spoilers with the merch. But I did. So they have released a small figure of a Knight of Ren.
Yeah.
And there's also a
pack. One of them.
And then there's a Lego pack with two of them.
Yeah.
Now, normally, if there is on the Lego figures, if there is going to be a face shown up in the film,
yeah.
When you remove the mask of the Lego, there's something underneath.
Mm-hmm.
On the Lego, when you remove the mask, it's just a black, all black head. So unless, again, they're making JJ go through it first and say, like, you can put the knights in the Lego pack, but you can't show the face unless that's what's happening. And then
to not reveal something he doesn't want to reveal.
For anybody, and I'm not a Lego collector, but I know some, they're very big on exclusivity of the minifigures.
Yeah.
So one Lego collector even mentioned the fact that it is a blank face, and he's like, oh, I wonder if they're going to release another version of this.
That's what I'm wondering.
It was like, that way the one that has the blank face is basically, it's another minifigure that we have to collect as Lego collectors.
Yeah, because it would Lego collectors are going to go back and get those.
They're going to say, well, I need the faceless one and the faced one.
Because there's this collector's significance to that.
Yeah,
and having both.
I understand it. I mean, I was a Star Wars collector back in the day where, oh, I had to find the one where the lightsaber was a quarter of an inch shorter because that was the variant or whatever.
As a collector, there's a significance in that, sometimes in the error or the intentional error in this case. Mm-hmm. There's two things there. First, it serves the purpose, and then if it's JJ that's going in and saying, yeah, we need to hide this right now. And so you've got that, but then at the same time, Disney's also making double money there.
Oh, yeah.
So it's got two benefits to them to do it that way.
Because you know, if there's even this, because they do this, they will slightly change things on the minifigures because they know the Lego collectors will buy a whole Lego set.
Absolutely.
Just to have the different minifigures.
Absolutely. And I mean, I'll be one of those people one of these days because I'll use my son as an excuse to start collecting Legos.
Yep.
Which I'm looking forward to that, actually. We're really excited because that was going to be my way to keep him not on screens all the time was we're going to get him into Legos.
Oh, excellent idea.
Yeah, and it's so much fun to interact and play with him with the Legos. You know what would have been funny is if they had, instead of doing the blank face under the mask, if they had just done them all with JJ's.
Oh, yes.
As a kind of a ha-ha-ha. Yes. You take the mask off and it's JJ.
Hi, I'm JJ Abrams.
It's like his kind of like, ha, gotcha. Wait till December, sucker. Number two, getting to Marvel again. So Gwyneth Paltrow, I'm sure you might have caught this over the summer, recently came under fire for her lack of awareness of things going on around her in the MCU. Okay? As far as her character, Pepper Potts, and her lack of awareness of what has been going on around her. This came up in a conversation, of course, with Jon Favreau, and it was actually on his new Netflix series that he's doing that's based off of his...
The Chef,
which is... I learned how to make grilled cheese sandwiches from watching that show. I don't know if you've watched any of them yet.
Oh, yeah. He did one here in Austin with Robert Rodriguez.
Yeah, I haven't got to that yet.
And then he also did Franklin's. Cool.
Oh, I've got to keep watching. Well, the one I watched was, I think, the first or second episode, and he had almost the entire MCU on that episode.
Oh, yeah, I saw that
before it was all over. So for the people that are MCU fans, you've got to at least go dial up that episode where he has Robert Downey Jr. and Tom Holland. The Russo brothers, I believe, were in there. Gwyneth Paltrow, they're in a conversation while they're doing some recipe on the show. And it turns out she was surprised that she was in Spider-Man Homecoming. She seemed to not know that she was in that particular movie with Jon Favreau. And so now she has, a lot of people were up in arms about that when they heard about this, and the internet did what the internet does, and they got really upset or kind of up in arms about it. Now, she has since stated that it is confusing because there are so many Marvel movies, which is true. And she said, to be honest, I haven't seen very many of them. It's really stupid, and I'm sorry. Now, she's not saying the movies are stupid. She's saying it's kind of, she felt stupid herself. And she said she's sorry, but she said, I'm a 47-year-old mother. And anyway, do you agree or disagree that this could actually hinder her ability to be prepared for a role, as it diminishes her ability to play the role to the best of her abilities, not having a full awareness of what's going on around her in terms of the story?
I mean, I disagree for her character.
Yeah.
For her character, because it's not really a role that, you know, requires her to necessarily be all in on being the character. It's not like Iron Man or Spider-Man or Captain America or even Black Panther or Doctor Strange. It's not one of those. It's a B character that's up until recently has been a Tony Stark love interest for five movies, six movies, however many she's been in. And so I get it. She has other work. She's a mother, you know. Not all actors are like, you know, Joaquin Phoenix or Jared Leto or Christian Bale, where they just lock in and that's all they think about is the movie they're currently filming. However, if you go back to a lot of them years later, they might not even remember much about a movie they did 10 years ago. You think it, Gwyneth Paltrow's been in this universe for 10 years.
Yeah.
I mean, does everybody remember everything they did 10 years ago? Let alone, like, if you work, do you remember everything that you did at work 5 years ago, 6 years ago?
No.
Exactly.
And she does that, was it Goop or Boop or something, some website she does, like a Martha Stewart-y kind of thing. So I think she spends a lot of time on that. Another actress that used to date or was married to Brad Pitt. And number three, Jennifer Aniston. Now, this is also a Marvel question. Now, Jennifer Aniston has said that she thinks the Marvel Cinematic Universe has taken over the movie-going experience. The actress believes that everything out there is just Marvel movies, and the business as a whole is diminishing. Now, this comes on the heels of Martin Scorsese, who was outspoken in criticizing Marvel recently, and now Jennifer Aniston is the most recent person to have done sort of a similar thing. Do you agree or disagree with her opinion on this matter?
I mean, I disagree. I disagree with her opinion about it, because I believe there's tons of cinema out there for people who don't care for the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
There's still plenty of it?
There's still plenty of movies out there. I think that anybody who complains about something like that isn't seeking out films. You're not seeking out movies. If you don't want to contribute to those movies, fine. I think there's more movies being made now than there ever has been before. It's a matter of going out and finding the movies. Like I said, I saw 29 films in a week.
Yeah.
And those were all new movies.
And none of them were Marvel, right?
None of them were Marvel.
Yeah.
And, you know, and for both of them, again, it's their opinion. I don't agree with Scorsese or Aniston's opinion. But again, they have a right to those opinions. I think Scorsese and she did right by saying in my opinion. I think Scorsese was a little heavy-handed with his response. I think he should have thrown in there, you know, in my opinion. And he even admitted he hasn't really seen much of them. So I mean, you admit that, but you gotta say that's my opinion. You can't blatantly throw down the hammer and just say basically kind of throwing it into the face, because there are a lot of people. I mean, I'm being honest out here. There are a lot of people that the only movies they watch are the Marvel movies. They don't watch any other movies.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, that's fine.
They make it out for every single one on the first night it's open, it opens, or the first weekend it opens, they make it out for it.
And they don't see anything else in the theater all year. And that's fine. Honestly, I'm just glad people are still going to the movies.
Yeah.
And if it takes Marvel making 3 movies a year to make somebody go experience a movie in a theater, which I believe is the best way to experience a movie.
Yeah.
If that's what it takes is these movies, then fine. Because I want the next generations to keep getting to enjoy movie theaters.
If that's what's keeping it on life support and keeps it going.
And, you know, I'm somebody who goes 2-3 times a week. So I want future generations to get to have that experience. As good as their, you know, 6-figure theater rooms people have in their homes that are fantastic.
Yeah, some of them are. But you know that very well, coming from where you're at with your work.
It still isn't the same as experiencing a movie on a giant 300-foot screen in an audience of several hundred other people who are excited, because it's a different atmosphere. It's a different... there's a different feeling in the air, whether you're seeing a comedy or an action movie or a drama. It's a different experience in a movie theater.
Oh, I would be devastated if my son couldn't experience going to the movie theater and like I've been able to for years.
Yeah, if movie theaters ever started going the way that malls have been going, it would be very, very sad.
And scary, yeah. Yeah, at the same time, yeah. So I'm glad that they're keeping that going and I hope they figure out the mall thing too, which I think some places have.
Some places have.
The place you were just at recently figured that out.
Mall of America.
Yeah, more than any other place, the Mall of America has the malls figured out and how to be relevant in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that place is a city within a city.
Oh yeah.
It's colossal. I couldn't find the restaurant I was going to eat Wahlburgers. I couldn't find it.
Oh, I didn't know where it was, so I ate at some Italian like pita place, but they're more like crepes.
I think I might have eaten. Was it kind of a food court type? And they have Italian street food.
Yeah,
I think we ate the same place.
And then I went walking around.
I love that. It was good
with a friend of mine. And then we passed by Wahlburgers, and I was like,
See, I didn't even run. You know the funniest thing about the Mall of America? I don't know if you stumbled onto it. It's in Minneapolis, of course. As many of you probably already know. And there's a Green Bay Packers cheesehead store in a Minnesota mall. Which I found very funny.
Yeah, it was. And apparently they do all right there.
Yeah. I mean, I guess there's a lot, because the states are so close together. I mean, Texas is so big as far as a state, so vast, that we don't have as much crossover from our neighboring states. Because we're so far away from them, being especially in the middle of the state where we're at, we don't get a lot of that much of a crossover, from our neighbors.
And I mean, the other thing is the fans from our state tend to like bleed out into other states.
Yeah,
like you can go almost anywhere in the country and see Cowboys fans.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. There's definitely that they kind of bleed into other states for sure. Another thing on the Jennifer Aniston thing, the launch of the Apple streaming, her big rollout is going to include her first television starring role since Friends, which would have been almost 2 decades ago.
A bad movie. I'm just saying, you know, it was a little hard to follow.
I told you there were going to be subtitles.
I know. I just didn't want to wear my glasses on our first date.
Oh. Monica? It would really help when I'm kissing if you didn't shout out my sister's name.
She had said that she decided when she was finding, you know, some of the streaming stuff is better than some of the movie offers I'm getting, maybe I will look at doing a streaming, you know, property. And so there she is, and she found it. And I'm sure Apple probably signed
gave her a nice check
to do that. Julia Roberts has done a streaming series too. She, I think it was on Amazon that she did something too. So they've got some pretty big heavy hitters that have done And I think there will be some more big names in the future. You'd be surprised if some of the people that will also probably do some. I mean, you had a limited series on cable with Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson. Mm-hmm. So I think there'll be some other big stars in the future that maybe they're not getting the roles they deserve in movie theaters, in cinema, that might venture into streaming, doing some really good streaming series.
Oh, yeah.
I could see Robert Downey Jr. maybe doing a streaming series in the future.
Oh, yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, for this 109th episode, it is time for that segment we call Thoughts and Advice. And on this Thoughts and Advice episode, I'll try not to breathe too heavy on this microphone and make it sound like a 1-900 porn service. Johnny Lightfoot will be doing the honors.
All righty, folks. So, in light of all of the, you know, the threats and the stuff involving, you know, mass shootings possibly at theaters, the, you know, political backlash over cinema, and, you know, to the point where there are films being pulled from cinematic release because of fear of of shootings, and, you know, all of the stuff going on with certain big box retailers pulling certain products involving the entertainment industry, which, you know, that's what we're here talking about it here at Thunder Pop is entertainment. And that's what we're here for, is to entertain. Mm-hmm. And that's what the cinema is for. That's what TV watching is for. Mm-hmm. That's what movies are for. And so in light of all this, and with the stuff surrounding Joker and armed guards, and, you know, basically by walking into a theater, you submit to the fact that you can be searched.
Yeah.
You yourself or your bags and belongings can be searched by you entering the theater and having guards posted up. And,
which is terrible for me, because I sneak in snacks all the time.
Yeah. You're submitting that fanny pack to search and seizure.
Yeah.
And so now you don't have to just fear about your burrito being taken, but, you know, you go in there and it's not a great experience. And I just feel like this sort of thing wouldn't happen without the social media backlash and political guys not staying in their lane. So I would just urge everybody to not let those sort of things kind of dissolve your entertainment, whether that entertainment is watching something on Netflix or playing a video game or going to the movies or just watching a movie at home with family or friends. Like, enjoy your entertainment in whatever form you get. And for the people out there who like to troll people for enjoying certain things, maybe you should go find something that entertains you. Then you would spend less time.
More productive. Yeah. More productive-wise.
Yeah, just find something productive. Whether that's trolling a cat or a dog instead of other people, just go find something that entertains you outside of violence, because we hate violence and encourage entertainment and creativity. And again, just have fun, people. Be calm, be relaxed. Don't get all stressed out over movies and TV shows and video games. They're not directed to do that for you.
It's not the idea. Do some yoga or quilt making. I think that's my suggestion for those guys, is do some quilting,
or even just some darning. You can darn some socks.
It's way underrated. That stuff is way underrated.
That light clicking sound will completely ease all of that tension you feel from hovering over the keyboard. You just need to loosen up those fingers by.
It's very meditative.
Make some socks.
Make me a quilt, because I've always had a dream of having a quilt made that has like a 80s boombox built into the and then have like triangles, little neon colored triangles all surrounding the boombox. So I'm saying, make me a quilt and send it to me. You can DM me on Instagram under Thunderpop Show. My address, I'll give it to you if you show me the picture of the quilt you made me to prove that you made it and then you're not just trying to swat me.
Yeah.
By me giving you the address.
That's positive reinforcement, folks. Put those hands to good, positive use.
Build a robot.
Yes.
For fun, not to go destroy stuff.
Yeah, no, not at all.
A cute, fun, BB-8 type robot.
Yeah, I watched Chopping Mall the other day, old 80s horror film about these security robots that go haywire and start murdering teenagers in a mall.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so good. Well, it was so bad.
It's good. Yeah. It's so bad and good at the same time. Yes, it's both. Oh, man. Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Johnny Lightfoot with thoughts and advice. And we'll have a lot coming up because we got the holidays. We got Star Wars, Mandalorian, Rise of Skywalker. We have the trailer coming up in a week or two.
Yep.
And a bunch of other stuff.
Gosh, Irishman, all the Netflix movies coming out. All of the stuff coming out. It's holiday season.
And Eddie Murphy, too. Speaking of Eddie Murphy, he would be also a big story because he's going to be coming back to host Saturday Night Live in December.
Oh, yeah. For the first time in a long time.
Oh, gosh. I heard like a lifetime. Like a person's life has lived an entire life and not known about Eddie Murphy being on Saturday Night Live. And he's going to come back. And out here, I'm going to throw this out right now, prediction-wise. I think it'll be only a few weeks after the Mr. Rogers movie comes out with Tom Hanks, which is another one that could be another Oscar actor buzz movie. It's going to be a crowded field this year.
Especially on the actor side.
On the actor side, it's already a crowded field.
I almost feel like for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, you almost, if I'm the studio, I'm almost trying to steer the Brad Pitt role into supporting actor just so he can have a shot, because there's too many
of the big heavy hitters right now that could have a shot at, and you could pick any of those and I would say you got it right. Almost any of those you named right now, I'm like, Eddie Murphy, you got it right. Dolomite Is My Name, Dolomite Is My Name and Fuck It Up Motherfuckers Is My Game.
Yes.
That's already the catchphrase of the year.
Yes.
So I think, where was I when I started this point? I don't even know where I was.
So many actors.
Yeah, so many actors. But yeah, so there's that. And but anyway, after Mr. Rogers comes out, a couple of weeks later, you got Eddie Murphy on Saturday Night Live. I think it's going to be ripe and ready for a Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood.
Oh, yes.
Throwback on Saturday Night Live, him doing some updated version of that the Mr. Robinson bit that he used to do on his old Saturday Night Live when he was on there for that one season. He was only on for one season, but the impact he made, it was like as if he was on there for a decade. Because there's so many bits he did that were played and played again over the years that stayed kind of stuck and aged really, really well. I mean, there was the James Brown hot tub. James Brown bit he did. I could see them doing that where it's like the ghost of James Brown coming back from the dead and doing hot tub James Brown from the dead. I mean, there's just so many different, he did the Buckwheat Little Rascals bit, and they had the one where Buckwheat gets shot. Buckwheat's dead, or Who Killed Buckwheat, or something like that. One more thing on the I had one more part. Oh, you were talking about the theaters and the shootings. I do have one idea. And I don't know if it's feasible. It's probably technology is not there yet. But if they were to make smart buildings, like smart cars, like you were talking about that movie with the car where the guy tries to steal theft and he gets locked in the car and there's bulletproof windows so he can't break out of the car. If they were to redo schools, and I know that would cost a lot of money, but if they were to redo schools, even movie theaters, shopping malls, Walmarts, places where these shootings have happened, if they could redo these buildings with smart technology, with smart tech, that would detect when a gun or a bomb gets within so many feet of the building, and then when that happens, it would automatically lock the doors, and if you had bulletproof windows, it would automatically also alarm would get set off, and it would dispatch the police to show up at the spot So I don't know. Maybe in the future that might be. That's probably years down the road.
Oh, yeah.
But I think the smart technology, the smart tech. Everybody's talking about whether you should have guns, teachers with guns, or whether you should allow people to carry firearms or not carry firearms. I think that the preventative, the Star Wars plan of using self defense. I think self defense in the tech world. In implementing that into things like buildings is the future.
I mean, I honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if, and I mean, it'll take a long time because they're having such trouble, you know, in terms of having people like register to buy firearms and then also
yeah.
all of that stuff. But kind of like you chip your animals,
yeah,
you chip your firearms.
Yeah. And doing that, and that being another...
And I think that would also lead to safer traffic stops mm-hmm. for both the people in the car
mm-hmm.
and the law enforcement, because then the law enforcement officer knows before he even walks up to the car if there's a firearm in the car.
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't have an officer reacting poorly to somebody possibly reaching for something that's not a firearm. If the officer already knows that there's a firearm in the car, he can already walk up to the car with the intention of, do you have a firearm in the car? Da 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 da. Fine.
And they already know. It's mm-hmm. already known there in the beginning. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah. So tech, that's probably going to be what is going to be the solution.
And it's
in the future.
And the pushback would always be, well, you can't take our guns. Nobody's taking your guns.
Mm-hmm.
You're letting authorities know that you have a firearm with
yeah.
you.
Yeah, which is the law anyway, right?
You're supposed to let them know, officer, I have a firearm
yeah.
on my person.
And people take classes when they're going to get licensed or get their firearm. Ideally, they take some kind of class and they learn those things that they're supposed to do, and that's one of the things they teach them.
Yeah, and now all you're doing but with a chip is you're eliminating the people who are doing it illegally.
Yeah.
Because if you're doing it the right way, you shouldn't have to worry about somebody knowing that you have a firearm on
mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So that could be it. The future is implementing the tech there in within the guns and possibly in all in buildings, municipal buildings and schools mm-hmm. too. But that it's going to take a long time because I think even getting the bulletproof windows is still something that they've mentioned that they would consider, but it's still far away from happening.
Oh, yeah.
And it costs a lot, too.
Yeah.
I don't think the stuff I'm talking about, I know, is not cheap.
No.
Cheap. Like, we'll have to put casinos everywhere to pay for this stuff. Like, they'll have to be casinos, like, inside churches.
Casinos and legal marijuana will have to be everywhere.
To be able to pay for that sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know, so, which I'm not against. I'm fine with, I know, I mean, I'm not in favor of people having gambling problems, but, you know, hey, I don't have a problem with smoky rooms with old ladies pulling slot machines. I mean...
Are you two heading for Las Vegas?
Yeah, we're gonna score.
Oh, well, I hope to score big there myself. I'm mostly gonna be doing the slots.
That, if that's what people want to do when they've lived their life and retired...
That's their thing. Yeah, exactly.
Go play the penny slots every day for 8 hours.
Pay for that stuff, yeah. Go pay for that stuff. Johnny Lightfoot, thank you so much, sir.
Yeah, thank you.
And everybody, this is Stephen Presley, Johnny Lightfoot. Thank you so much. Everybody have a good day, hour, month, second, and millisecond. Goodbye. And Thunderpop is a Hit the Bricks production.